The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 29th of July, 2020. On the podcast today, John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. We talk about China, we talk about gold. We also mention the following companies: Alter Strategies, Anglo Asian Mining, Bushveld Minerals, Chart Gold, Condo Gold, Coral Gold, Phoenix Copper, Rio Tinto, and Scott Gold. Also on the podcast, Vadim Alexander, head of healthcare at SP Angel, discusses how testing for COVID-19 will become more prevalent and therefore be a big boost for related stocks such as Avacta, Gene Drive, Novacyt, and Amiga Diagnostics. Also, I have two lists for you: the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see top 10 versions of both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you can also see a wealth of content, blog articles, there's videos, there's podcasts. In fact, there's one there on plant healthcare sees exceptional growth in the US. Cadence Minerals says MacArthur Minerals sees route to market at Lake Giles. There's also a bit on Dev Clever there. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk. We can also see our COVID-19 index. What's up number one there today? Number one, Gfinity. It's had a couple of days of sell-off, but now it's bouncing nicely, 17% up. Biggest faller today is Clearstar, another one of my stocks. And there are two stocks there, the biggest riser and biggest faller. And there's 28 stocks in there in that index, so it's not just two. But check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You're right, John.
Yes, very good, thank you.
Gold and silver, they're on fire, aren't they? Wow. Gold is... I mean, the annoying thing is, John, we've been sort of saying this, and we've been talking gold up. It's got to go. It's got to move. We can't see it coming back down a lot. It's got to, you know, heading towards $2,000. And we've been saying this for months. But you know what? I have not taken a position in gold. I did have one before the move. You know, the move actually started back about $1,300. I did, and then I got bored with it. 3 months I held it for. It went, and all of a sudden I sold it, and as if the god of gold said, right, he's out, let's go. And the gold price started moving upwards. And we knew this relentless grind higher was always going to happen, didn't we? And it's more annoying, like you say, we don't have a position, but it's on fire, isn't it?
Yeah, and like you, I wanted to buy shares in Scott Gold, which is a little company that I just like a lot. And I wasn't allowed to do it by our corporate guys. So it's been nice to watch their share price go up in the meantime. I think that will break through a pound any day.
Yeah. It's, well, Scott Gold, yes, looking good. And in fact, Cora Gold had some decent news out today. A small explorer there, aren't they, on San Ancora?
Yeah, they have a new gold zone that they discovered and announced earlier in the week. And I think the good news is coming through thick and fast. And the nice thing is that the company is financially well backed. Not to say that it won't come to the market for new cash, but it doesn't need to. It's well supported by the investors who are already behind it. Yeah. And that's quite an unusual and very strong position to be in for a gold company.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's well worth investors looking around, because I think a lot of this gold price is not yet priced into the underlying equities. You can look at, you know, the big companies like Sibanye-Stillwater, which I like, in South Africa, or Newcrest in Australia, or Newmont Mining in the States, which of course react more quickly to the gold price. But then there are a fantastic list of second liners that I think investors should look at: Alter Strategies, Anglo Asian Mining, Chariot Gold, Condor, Cora, Scott Gold. There's quite a lot of value to be had, because of if gold prices remain anything like where they are now, the margin increases are huge for these guys.
Yeah. And isn't it a case of, I suppose, when you had the lean times and gold started going down $1,000, you had, you know, what happens is production gets taken out, doesn't it? Some producers stop, some explorers stop. The producers still going, sort of, I suppose, tighten their belts a bit so they become more efficient, you know? And it's what's happening now, I suppose, with the economy, where you get COVID-19 has caused a lot of companies to rein in their spending a little bit and just operate a bit leaner. And they realise, to a certain extent, in fact, we don't need that half that department. We're doing well without half that department. And, you know, so our sort of, you know, our wage bill has gone down. And all of a sudden then, like I said, you get competitors taken out of the market. And then you get the economy, you know, reverts back to norm, or the gold price goes up in as far as mining is concerned. And you've got these massive margins then, because the producers there were used to breaking even just sub, say, $1,000 an ounce. And all of a sudden, we're up almost double that. So they're super efficient, and they've got big margins, haven't they?
Yeah, the gold companies are in a great place right now. And But this is very tough for people who get made redundant, often through no fault of their own, depending on the industries that you're in. I mean, if you look at US manufacturing, where the numbers were surprisingly good, but remember that about 5% of US manufacturing comes out of the airline industry, which has been decimated. Most of that Boeing, of course. Yeah. So you know, there are still big risks in the world, and whilst there's a lot driving gold. Coronavirus clearly is a big one, but it's the money printing that's going on behind the scenes that is helping to drive gold. And what's lifting gold this week is the prospect of another $1 trillion package to be announced by the United States government. Not sure when or how exactly that's going to come through, but that'll be money, I think, for infrastructure again. And money that, to be honest, they probably need to spend anyway on a lot of US infrastructure to keep up with China. Mm. But in the meantime, there's another big risk out there in that there is a third wave of flooding that has started on the Yangtze River. This third wave is bigger. It started in the upper reaches where there's been torrential rain, and at least several more days of torrential rain forecast. This huge body of water is moving its way down towards the Three Gorges Dam. And whilst we don't think the Three Gorges Dam is going to collapse, there are 94,000 dams in China, and I think there are going to be a number of those dams that suffer, at least suffer damage, if not catastrophic damage. And there is the potential for, shall we say, a major catastrophe if one or more of these smaller dams in the upper reaches give way. Then the body of water coming down at everything else will increase. And I wouldn't want to bet on a thing like this. But there is a small chance that things could get rather worse than better over the next week in China.
So, and how is? I mean, what are you saying? What's the impact of this? I mean, if you know, looking at from a Western point of view, investors in resource stocks, what's the impact here?
Well, in many respects, the impact is negative from a global economic perspective. It would disrupt more Chinese industry. We know it's already disrupting ports, loading and unloading, because the water levels are so high in some of these port areas along the Yangtze, because it's a huge river, it's a huge transportation hub. I'm not sure it's that easy for ships to go up and down, but some parts of the Yangtze River at the moment, Wuhan is at the center of it. I think it's 2 million people displaced so far. Wow. 34 million people affected by the flooding. Many tens of thousands of houses destroyed as well. So the Chinese are going to have, when the rain stops and the flooding subsides, the Chinese will be doing an awful lot of rebuilding here. But in the meantime, there'll be yet another hit to the economy. So on the one level, all that sort of disruption is good for gold, but it's probably negative for base metals prices right now.
Yeah, it's amazing how little we hear about that on the you know, how big a deal that is, and yet how little we've heard about it, isn't it?
It's an absolutely huge deal, and I hate to say it demonstrates to us how strong the Chinese information or control on information is, in that companies have clearly been told not to say anything or to say a minimal amount of information on this, because we have anecdotal evidence that companies are being affected, but they're really not saying anything very much. They're really tight-lipped, and the government somehow is managing the information. I've got information from the Insurance Journal and some more information from an Iranian news source, of all things. You really have to dig hard to find out what's going on in China in this respect. You can get hold of videos on YouTube and things like that, but they don't give you the detail that you need.
Yeah, it's scary. The more I learn about China, the more I think, I don't trust you guys. It's like, keeping that quiet and just, the COVID-19, it's like, COVID-19 started in a city like Wuhan, like you say, 11 million people. It's bigger than London, pretty much. And yet, they only reckon they've had 4,000 deaths from it. And then, how is that possible? There's probably a month and a half where it was spreading where no one even knew about it. Now, it's impossible. So if even you go by the average of the people per 1,000 deaths of the top 10 sort of countries, they should have about 500,000 deaths in that country. And yet they just said 4,000, not 500,000. It's nuts. So, yeah, it's a bit worrying. But, okay, cool. Any other news?
Well, some countries are less affected by the coronavirus than others. I mean, Zambia has seen very few cases and very, very few fatalities.
The epicenter is nuts. If it started in a major city, and that's the epicenter, yet we've heard, they're very little.
There was a very interesting piece in the Financial Times yesterday, which is a free article to read, about T cells. And in fact, I'd written about T cells earlier in the week because I have a friend who works on viruses for one of the Oxford bio companies. And so he told me that T cells were significantly more important in his view than what people were saying. The medical experts were very careful and cautious about what they say, but the FT put a piece in yesterday saying T cells, the missing link in coronavirus immunity. And I think this is well worth reading because The implication is that maybe New York and London are much closer to herd immunity than people had previously thought. And so you get tested and it shows that you either do or don't have antibodies, but it may be that you had antibodies and that those antibodies went away. And now it's just up to the T cells to maintain your immunity, which perhaps they do. Maybe not in every case, but for many people. So because this is a virus that spread so fast, it may be that many more of us have been exposed to it than we realize. And this is what I hope. I could easily be wrong. I'm just a simple mining engineer. But this virus may burn through our society faster than we realize, and in which case maybe the world can return to normal a bit faster as well.
Cool. Other company news then, John, what's happening? Something from Phoenix Copper there, wasn't it? What's that about?
Yeah, Phoenix Copper looking interesting. I'm trying to find the news on it, but interesting. Rio Tinto, one, they made a new discovery at Winu in Australia, which is a massive gold discovery. But also a $2.5 billion dividend, which I think is great news really for Rio Tinto. Not surprising. I think I don't think anyone should be surprised that they're producing a very big dividend because that's, because the iron ore price has been so high. And it may be that the market, which generally looks ahead of these things, might look towards the disruption in flooding on the Yangtze as being a bit of a negative indicator, I think, over the next couple of months. But we'll see where that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. There's something from Phoenix Copper saying drilling results from the Empire Mine, robust drilling results, apparently. So,
I really like that mine, actually. I've liked it right from the start. It was owned by Cambior, and it got shut down, as many mines did, because of very low copper prices years ago. They've got copper and cobalt in the area. They've got a very nice silver resource, which they're going to develop first to give them the cash flow to then develop a bigger project, hopefully at Empire. And I've always felt that these guys are digging in the right place, and it's nice to see the drilling coming through.
Yeah, absolutely marvellous stuff. Anything else, John, worth covering?
Well, we saw increased profits at Ariana Resources, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite hopeful that KEFI Minerals will get its financing done. They announced in their quarterly that the funding closure was aimed for October, which is good.
It seems to me that's been going on for a long time now. And I think I've said this before, but I haven't said it as much as they've said something's happening. Is this finally it? Is this another false dawn, or is it going to happen?
I do think so. I think it's not been an easy road, but the fact is, when gold prices go up like this, financing becomes so much easier. Suddenly, people that were umming and ahhing sign checks and get on with things. This may well be the year in which KEFI gets the move forwards, because what you can do in gold is you can offset the cost of building your project against the value of your future production. Of course, the value of the production can be sold into the market today, even though you haven't produced it. And the financiers can do all sorts of clever things with streaming and royalties and just forward sales and hedging. And the banks love to do the hedging because they make a lot of money out of that through their clever financial instruments. And so these things get done. So Tulu Kapi needs something close to $200 million. And I would have thought that's, so long as everybody's happy with Ethiopia as a country, then this thing ought to get going.
Yeah. Cool. Marvellous stuff. Right. And I noticed the chart of Bushveld Minerals there, John. It's nearing, yearly lows. In the March sell-off. It went to 8.65, pretty much. It's now at 11.8.
Bushveld is cheap. I think people are worried a bit about the, what's going to come out in the interim results. It will have been a difficult first half because of the lockdown, but I would draw attention to the results at Amplats, which Anglo American Platinum did incredibly well, I think, considering the lockdown in the first half, and demonstrated very strong recovery potential for the second half, partly driven by high prices for rhodium and palladium. These companies, they produce platinum, palladium and rhodium, and of course the rhodium price has been particularly good as a byproduct. But also the company managed to cut costs. It was helped by the weaker South African rand. There's a number of things there, and it goes to show how good management can take a difficult situation and make it look not so bad. I see Bushveld as having particularly good management. I see it as able to recover very well from the situation we're in. And I think, when the flooding on the Yangtze subsides, the Chinese are going to be buying an awful lot of vanadium in order to strengthen the rebar for rebuilding the dams and the levees and the flood defences that they're going to need to put in at the end of all this. So I do see a strong end to the year for vanadium prices, and I think that will lift Bushveld Minerals.
Marvellous stuff. Cool. John, thanks for that, Philip, and we'll speak to you next weeky.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexander, Head of Healthcare, SP Angel. You all right, Vadim?
How are you doing, Justin?
I'm annoyed. I'll tell you why I'm annoyed. I've cancelled three holidays this year, okay? And the last... we haven't cancelled three. We've cancelled two. But in fact, the second one may be cancelled. In September, we're booked to go to Tenerife. And now I've looked at all the stats, and I thought, hang on a sec, there's an issue here. Because if you look at the amount of people who have died in Tenerife, it's literally... In fact, the whole of the Canary Islands, there's been 126 deaths, right? That's all. Now, we've got some like 380 times as many deaths in the UK. The incidence of coronavirus is a lot higher than in Tenerife, and in fact, the Balearics as well. So they've done a blanket ban or quarantine in the UK, saying that you can't now fly back in if you do have to quarantine for 14 days. I think, hang on a sec, In Catalonia, I understand there's like 47 people per thousand, which is high compared to where we are, about 14 or 15 people per thousand. Mm-hmm. But in Tenerife, yeah, it's like down about 2 or 3 per thousand. So it's, well, it's like, I'm safer in Tenerife than I am in the UK, but I can't fly to Tenerife, so I come back to the UK, which is more dangerous now, and I've got to be quarantined. And I've thought, there's got to be a way of being more targeted. And now I know the industry, the companies, you know, the industry, holiday and travel sector, are now in conversation with the government saying, we can do testing and bring the quarantine time down. And this is very relevant because we've been talking about companies involved in this space. And even though these companies have rallied strongly and they've come off a bit, there's still a long tail here, isn't there, where, you know, testing's needed.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is a case in point that we're seeing right now. Another U-turn, here we go, you know, crank up the testing, make it more local, as in make it at airports. Now we know that Heathrow is considering doing testing, you know, upon return. It's just, you know, it's very, very clear that throughout this whole crisis, the more important, the one of the most important things right now, which we have, a technology that we have, which is diagnostic testing. It isn't just one-off tests, it's repeat testing, it's testing in locations. You know, we talked about the last time, I think we spoke about testing, we were talking about how this next big phase of testing will be the move to remote testing. So, you know, at the point of need. And here is a case in point. Here is an extremely urgent need for testing remotely, meaning at, say, at airports, or testing patients who return, you know, who return to lower the length of the quarantine period, right? Remember how they're now talking about testing patients to reduce it from 14 days of quarantine down to possibly half or 10 days, which has an economic impact and is important for people. Certainly has a big economic impact on the travel sector, right? So they're saying, please give us more testing to try to make this workable for you know, for all of our travel you know, packages that we've sold to a population that's been in lockdown so long and desperate to get out, right? I mean, I think you mentioned you've canceled 2 holidays, so have I. We're all in the same boat. People are just want to get out of their routine that's been, you know, the routine of lockdown. So completely understand.
But let me ask you a question then. So I understand the government could say, it's easy for them to say blanket ban for Spain, and that covers Canaries and Balearics. Like I said, with testing, surely that's the whole point. In the first wave, we didn't have, you know, the technology has been evolving quickly, the testing side of it. Now it's getting up to speed. I don't know where we're at, how fast they're at. But so, you know, if they did say, if you've flown anywhere, you know, from any airport near Catalonia or within to 200 miles of that, any airports there, you'd come into the UK, we'll test you. The rest don't need to be. So testing-wise, I know we got the likes of Novacyt. I don't know where Amiga Diagnostics are, Avacta, all that kind of thing. They're in that area.
So Gene Drive is another one.
So take us through now. I mean, the big riser has been Novacyt. That's the king of the risers, hasn't it? It's been, 25 baggers. I mean, ridiculous. But
But what's important, actually quite important. Sorry, Justin, I'm just to add to
go
that.
On.
Look at what's happened to Novacyt's share price. I mean, it's up 10% today, I think, and you know, is ticking up all over again. So back to your point about, we had the big share price rises of you know, April, May, big moves. I mean, even earlier. Sorry, in Novacyt's case, it was a bit earlier. So, and then everything started to cool down on COVID a little bit, and people thought this is, you know, it's all under control. Everything is going to be fine. Share prices have readjusted downwards, and guess what? Now we're seeing it's not fine. You know, this all this talk of second waves, which is effectively the same virus that's just been suppressed, right? Through lockdowns, it's just coming. It's, you know, we're having local breakouts, you know, of the virus here, you know, all over the place, basically all across the continent as well.
I like the chart of Novacyt, actually. The chart of Novacyt has come back enough. It's had a big spike up. It's kind of now it's bottomed out a little bit. It's had a lot, and it's got a series of what's called higher lows. So the lows, bottoms is grinding up. Now, on Novacyt, the only company actually now monetizing this, I mean, who are others? I mean, I know Amiga Diagnostics, are they monetizing yet?
I'm not that close to Amiga. I know that they all are on the case. So basically you've got Avacta, Gene Drive, for example, has a, actually Gene Drive is one that's quite interesting because it specifically has in the pipeline. It's not monetizing yet, but a point of care test, which is the a remote testing capability. So they're taking PCR testing remotely. All of these companies are thinking about remote testing. So the question is, I just don't know where they are on their monthly or weekly programs, all of them. Yeah. In the case of GeneDrive, they have, they're currently looking to monetize, I think shortly, their first wave PCR test, mm-hmm. which isn't a remote test. And then the remote testing is in the pipeline thereafter. They certainly have a platform to do it. I know Novacyt has a platform to do it, of course. Mm-hmm. And then others, I just don't know where they're at with their remote testing platforms. But the ultimate point is testing is here to stay. And here, right now, we're living through that, case in point, specifically in the travel industry. We're seeing, and it's reflecting in the share prices of these companies, namely Novacyt, which we saw today rise almost 10%. Yeah. So, it really is. This is exactly how it's playing out. There was the first, the first wave, effectively. Waves is a difficult thing to discuss, but we can talk about that later. But it's basically the same virus that's just been suppressed by lockdown. And as we have all of these localized, flare-ups of the virus, we're going to need more testing and more testing that's local and local to very specific, industries. So in this case, now we can see the travel industry desperate to get testing up and running. You can imagine other industries that are going to be impacted, that would want testing. It might even get to a point where we have anywhere where you have any form of mass gathering will have testing. Now, that we're not quite there yet. And there's certain things that could throw, an obstacle into that mix, like a vaccine, which we definitely all want anyways. But testing, even with a vaccine in place, will still need to go on for some time because we are not sure. We're not sure how the vaccines will impact the virus. It might just be that we attenuate slightly the, some of the expectation on vaccines. Sorry, I'm jumping around a little bit here, but the reason vaccines are important is because initially, we may have thought that, okay, testing is important today, but once we get a vaccine, it's all over and the game, we go on with our normal lives. Well, looks like these vaccines may not prove to be as effective, the first generation ones. They may require multiple boosters. They may not change the spread of the virus that much, but lower the risk of severe infection. So, we're going to have a bit of a messy early days in the vaccines. It's almost impossible we'll have a silver bullet off the first vaccine. And I think expectations of that are starting to change as well. What does that mean for testing? It means more testing, longer periods of testing in terms of, I think it's going to go on for now. It's starting to look like over a year, probably into the future.
Yeah.
And then another sorry, I'm just jumping around here, but sorry, go ahead, Justin.
No, I was saying, we've questioned a couple of times, how long is the revenue window, this opportunity for, companies like Novacyt? And it seems now it's getting increasingly bigger because, like you say there, vaccines, the first generation will be effective. And also I've heard that they don't even be given anyway to the most vulnerable sectors because we won't be able to produce enough vaccines for everyone in the world. So they'll start to, administering them to the most vulnerable sectors of society. So the rest of us, if we want to travel, we'll have to put it's a multi-layered approach, isn't it, really, where we'll have testing going on if you want to travel, if you want to go back to work in some ways, and there'll be hopefully a lot of the Holy Grail is a test where either it'll take about 5 minutes as a result or almost less than that, or what happens is we'll have a system where we know you'd be provided with immunity for like three, six months, and so you get some kind of app. They had that in China, didn't they? An app where basically it's like a traffic light system. You get tested, and if you're clear or you've got antibodies, you've got a green light for 3 months, and you get retested. And that kind of, so it's a multi-layered approach. The vaccine is, like you say, it's not a silver bullet, is it? So in the meantime, we need testing. Testing will probably get better, faster, more efficient. And so that provides more opportunity. People like, Novacyt and, like I said, GeneDrive and all those kind of companies, isn't it? So the window of opportunity is getting longer, I think,
The window of opportunity is getting longer.
Yeah.
The type of test is becoming more and more localized. So like at the point of need. So we're developing tests that are point of care tests rather than centralized lab tests. And then with that comes a massive opportunity of more testing. Why? Because everyone's going to want to have a test at their front door before letting people in. I'm exaggerating, but that's it. That's if you can imagine a future of reopening the economy where you have you know, testing at stadia, you know, whenever you have a football match, or testing at airports, which
will almost certainly
become...
That's going to be fast turnaround, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest, if you've got stadia, people going into a concert, for example, I think that's going to be almost a pre-approved app kind of thing, because there's no way, unless you can get a test result back within seconds. You imagine the turnstiles at stadia anyway, it slows people down even checking tickets these days. But
I agree.
Or so scanning
but it's
tickets.
Not impossible.
But, yeah.
It's not impossible that we'll have fast turnaround tests. I think
it'll have to be a pre-approved basis. I think basically travel these days, you will have to get tested. You'll have an app or something. You'll be pre-approved that you have got it. You've had it all.
Possibly.
Because, I mean, I think that there'll be a bottleneck
completely
there testing, you know?
I agree with you. There's so many ways, you know, none of us know exactly how it's, but the whichever way it's done,
testing
will be required.
Exactly.
Testing will be required.
It's either,
exactly.
It's either done before you travel, like 2 days before or day before within 24 hours, or it's done, you know, at the point of travel. Either way, you know, more testing's needed, you know?
Exactly. Now, and then one last thing, I'll leave you with one last thought on testing, is that as our culture changes towards it, and it's true, this is happening. I mean, we are culturally, you know, integrating testing as part of our culture now. It will change the way we look at testing as a whole. So you might imagine this has been a boon for diagnostic testing in many respects. I mean, for all kinds of pathogens, you know, flu testing, all kinds of, you know, distinguishing between types of infection, which is going to be important. Many developers are developing panels of tests now. So, you know, certainly Novacyt is, and others are doing so. It's a big issue for the winter season, is if patients present at hospitals, okay, with flu-like symptoms, you now need to know what they have. Do they have the flu, or do they have COVID-19, or do they have something else, another respiratory illness? Why? Because the patient treatment protocols change drastically between them. So now we're developing testing panels that tell you what kind of virus you have, and it's quite important to know to treat the patient accordingly, right? Mm. So that's the next phase of medical testing in hospitals, and it may be applied more broadly. So we are going to be testing a lot of people for some time to come. And that kind of panel of tests may just stay with us permanently. You know, for those who think that testing is just a one-off now, I think we're starting to build a very strong case for testing being with us permanently in some shape. It used to be something that was lost to healthcare, and, you know, it wasn't as front and center as it is now because of COVID. But now, because of COVID, it's become, you know, it's more than just front and center. It's now getting embedded in the way we do things. Yeah. So there's a cultural shift now that's happening as well. Yeah. And I think that's the big ticket for how long this, you know, this wave of testing is coming. For sure, there's still going to be a peak and a return to a lower level of testing from current testing sometime in the future. But that lower level testing will be much higher than it was prior to this crisis.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know much about gene drive, but Novacyt are already at 220 million market cap. GDR, I don't know what their potential is, but they're 27 million, so almost an eighth of that. So you can see, and it's always worth looking at the valuations of companies, because you think, how can they justify that valuation? Novacyt are generating decent revenue at the moment, by the looks of it. And I think it's not just a flash in the pan. It's going to be, like you say, it's going to be here for a while. So
I think this crisis with the travel industry right now is starting to give us a big sense of it's much less of a flash in the pan as we think. And the other bit, which is the disruptive technology of a vaccine, is unlikely to provide a silver bullet overnight. So that's going to take some time to become, you know, it's not going to just get rid of COVID, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Marvelous stuff. Interesting. It's funny how the story's evolving, isn't it? And we are adjusting. And as you know, as an investor, I always say this. You see people, I say there's a difference between having patience and being deluded about a stock, you know? If a company's story changes negatively, and it's changed from when you first invested, and your case point of investing has changed, then you should sort of reduce and get out, maybe. But when the story evolves, you've always got to change your mind, your thought about it, you know? and sometimes get involved positively. Like you see, we've had the spike in Novacyt. It's coming around now. We see there's probably longer potential for them and longer opportunities. So then you think, okay, if you didn't get in first of all, maybe it's worth evaluating now because the cover stocks have come off a little bit and looking at it. But always worth just keeping abreast of the information. And it's good of you to come on, Vadim, and update. Thanks very much, Alan. We'll speak you next weeky.
Excellent. Thanks, Justin. Speak soon.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. It is GlaxoSmithKline. Wow. At four, Hurricane Energy. Glaxo is up 1.3%, by the way, to 16.25. Hurricane Energy, it's at 6.4. Wow, where's that come down from? Let's just check the chart on that. I'm sure it's nowhere near that before. What a dive that's had. Cool. I remember that, 60 odd pence. It's now at 6 pence. Well, I didn't know that. Let's have a go. At three, Barclays, down 4.6%, 4.7% right now to 106 pence. At two, Open Orphan, down 2.6%, 12.9. And at one, Supply At Me Capital, down 11.7% to 0.06 pence. Top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Remote Monitored Systems, Cloudvale forms strategic partnership with Axis. At four, Emotion Group, trading update. At three, Integumin, secures 3 million funding facility. At two, Cadence Minerals, EMH European Body Partnership Agreement. I think that was yesterday, wasn't it? Within 24 hours, I suppose. And at one, Nuformix again, annual report, notice AGM there at one. They change, of course, every day. I'm recording this just before 11, but as 24 hours goes around, they get cut off, so it's every 24 hours, but they get refreshed all the time. And that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.